are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, April the 1st, and no April Fools here. Today we're talking about Coach Sheed. That's right, this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press and PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we're going to talk about some of the quotes from Ed Stefanski this week and also Dwayne Casey, some reading material that I finally caught up from last week. And then later on, we're going to talk about Coach Sheed. That's right, Rasheed Wallace finishing up his first year as a high school boys basketball coach in Durham, North Carolina with Jordan High School. We're going to talk to Jonas Pope IV of the News Observer newspaper in North Carolina. He caught up with Sheed, watched a couple of games, and has a story where he writes about Coach Sheed, and we're going to talk to him about that. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But later this week, we got one more show coming up, probably on Thursday. We are seeding the bracket of 64 players on our most influential Pistons of all time gimmick that we're doing here. We have reader R.C. Nelson down in Louisiana. He is from Northern Michigan, but is down in the Bayou now. Just taped it with him this evening, excited about how that went. We seeded the 64 players into groups of four and the top eight seeds. So we took the top half of the bracket and seeded everyone in those one through eight spots, so four apiece for those one through eight spots. I'll put them together into a bracket, and we're going to throw the rest of everyone as at-large teams and just randomly mix them up for first-round matchups there. But that's coming up in tomorrow's show, or maybe Friday, but I'm planning on that being Thursday morning that's going to come out. One more episode this week here on Locked On Pistons. But Ed Stefanski was on 97.1 The Ticket the other day with Jamie and Stoney. Those guys are doing a good job of keeping the show going despite the fact that they're doing it remotely and on Zoom and all that good stuff. But Ed Stefanski, senior advisor to owner Tom Gores for the Pistons, says that he has no issues with drafting LaMelo Ball because of LaVar Ball. A little bit of a helicopter parent, I guess that's a nice way of putting it, for LaVar. Stefanski went on to say that parents can be a problem in high school and AAU, but not with the NBA. That's, he's dealt with helicopter parents over time and in different kind of situations, even with star players. But it's not been an issue with him, and he doesn't expect that to impact the draft status of LaMelo Ball, possibly coming to the Detroit Pistons, as the Pistons are slotted in the fifth lottery spot right now. That's with the assumption that the league does not play any more regular season games and then decides that the current standings, right when the season was suspended, will be the ones that are used to determine lottery standings, and maybe we'll see if any other kind of changes or adjustments are made with the draft. June 25th, we'll see if that gets moved back or what kind of NBA draft we have coming. I would assume the NFL draft will be a little bit of a litmus test and a little bit of a guide as to what the NBA might do. They'll have that coming up presumably before the NBA draft, which for now is scheduled for June 25th. Talking more about draft preparations with Ed Stefanski from the interview on 97.1 The Ticket with Jamie and Stoney, a couple of friends of the Locked On Pistons podcast, by the way. We like those guys. Ed says they have plenty of tape on their draft prospects. He seemed kind of unbothered, I guess, by the circumstances with draft prep, or if not unbothered, then certainly unfazed in the public face that he's giving as far as how the Pistons are doing with their draft preparations. Says that they'll conduct Skype or FaceTime interviews as everything stands right now. Obviously, we know times can change and things change in this country, and they are changing day by day. Just look at the president's estimates as time goes on. They said that physicals could be done in local cities that the players are in right now, and it might not be getting 250 guys around to 30 different NBA cities to see how that goes. So Ed Stefanski seems like he's a cool customer heading into the draft. One of the more uncertain drafts of recent memory. you know, does that mean that you really want to nail getting the number one pick in this draft as opposed to prior years? Or does it make it less important because if, you know, we knew that there was some uncertainty at the top of the draft anyway this year, this throws even more uncertainty in it. And then maybe, you know, maybe it's one of those years that being 5, 6, 7 doesn't really hurt you all that much. You still might get your guy and you still would be able to pay them a little bit less than had you had drafted someone 1, 2, or 3 and then gave that person the undue added pressure that being a top three pick comes along with it. But talking more about the current Pistons and this season, some new details that I noticed from a story at the end of last week. Jackie McMullen, the great reporter at ESPN.com, very involved in the Boston scene from the Celtics' old days, the Bird days, is where she made her bona fides, and now she's obviously a TV star as well on shows like Around the Horn, one of the more respected NBA journalists out there. McMullen, she had some details talking candidly with Coach Dwayne Casey with the Detroit Pistons. Talked about how during that final game on that Wednesday, you know, as you remember, the Pistons lost the Philadelphia 76ers on the road the night earlier in the evening on the same night that Rudy Gobert was discovered to be positive for COVID-19, and the NBA shut down basically minutes after that. But the Pistons did get their game in at that time. Apparently Jim Scholler, who was the head athletic trainer for the Pistons, was working the game, obviously on the bench near Dwayne Casey, and got word that Rudy Gobert had tested positive and got to thinking during the game, remembering that Sekou Doumbouya had gone out after the game and spent some time with Rudy Gobert when the Jazz were visiting the Detroit Pistons a few days prior to that on a Saturday night game that I was at. And those two opponents in that game were brought together after the game by Boris Diaw, who was in town checking out Sekou, his fellow countrymen from France, and also Rudy Gobert as well. So the Frenchman went out after the game, and I know this because I saw Boris Diaw in the Pistons locker room waiting for Sekou. I actually talked to him a little bit after that game and saw what he's up to. He seems like he's doing well in retirement there. But Scholler, remembering this and hearing about Rudy Gobert, told Dwayne Casey during the game to take Sekou out. He was on the court at that time. Casey had just put Sekou in for Tony Snell, but like seconds later took Sekou back out because of what Scholler told him. Now, Sekou was confused, didn't really know what was going on, and this was in the first half. Later on, it was decided by Dwayne Casey to put Sekou back into the game because he felt fine. He felt like he was being wronged a little bit by the coaching staff. The other kind of interesting development from this story is that Christian Wood, who we know was found to be tested positive with coronavirus, this novel coronavirus, after the confrontation and game against Rudy Gobert. Obviously, we don't know whether Christian got it from Rudy Gobert. Maybe Rudy Gobert got it from Christian. We don't really know that to be a fact at this point. But in the game, that last game, that Wood had complained of a sore throat to the medical staff the morning of the March 11th game, the final game that the Pistons played against the Sixers before the shutdown. But by tip-off, Wood had declared that he was feeling better and ready to go. He responded by scoring a career-high 32 points in Philadelphia that night, the third career-high he had in four games during that. But the one thing that really caught my eye was that Dwayne Casey and the Pistons were all very upset to find out that Christian Wood's name was out there after he was tested positive. In fact, he had it got leaked out to The Athletic. I believe it was Shams Charania who reported it at first, but the Christian Wood didn't release it, and that it got out and was out there as news before Christian even had a chance to tell his mom. And Dwayne went on to say, "I was very unhappy about that. I told our staff, this is unprofessional. This can't happen again," end quote. And went on to say that it was so unfair to his player. Dwayne Casey went on to say that Christian Wood, he believed that Christian Wood spent most of his time playing video games. We also saw that none of the Pistons are going to be in that 16-man tournament, despite the fact that Chris Haynes reported that every team would have a representative, and then went on to clarify that that was not the case. So no Pistons in that. Andre Drummond, however, if you remember that name, he used to play with the Pistons a long time ago. He is going to be in that 2K tournament, which I believe starts on Friday, 16 players, single elimination. Sounds about right for those of us who felt, who kind of watched Andre Drummond's career, that he would be front and center for a video game contest. But up next, we're going to talk to Jonas Pope IV of the News Observer in North Carolina about his story about Coach Sheed. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, to get fit in 2020 during these times when you've got a lot of time in the house, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half of the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn more about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's Echelon, Echelon, fit.com/LONBA. Again, echelonfit.com/LONBA.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by a reporter down in North Carolina with the News and Observer newspaper, and it's Jonas Pope IV. Jonas, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
And the reason that you are relevant to the interests of the Locked On Pistons podcast listeners is because you recently came out with an article for the News and Observer trailing Coach Sheed and telling us about Rasheed Wallace, the high school basketball coach down at Jordan High School in Durham, North Carolina. And you spent some time chatting with him for that as well. How's Coach Sheed doing down there?
He's doing well. I think he's really enjoying, you know, kind of being out of the spotlight and coaching high school basketball. What I wanted to do was, he got hired in March of 2019, so I wanted to get back up with him a year later after he got hired and just kind of see how the season went for him. He's a local legend, went to Carolina, and they still love him around here. So everywhere he goes, people recognize him, still gets a lot of love in the area. So I just found it interesting that he just kind of wanted to get out of the spotlight and was coaching this local high school basketball program that hadn't done so well in the last couple of years. I just wanted to see how he just kind of turned the program around, how the kids reacted to him, how the kids adjusted to playing for a former NBA All-Star, and how a former NBA All-Star adjusted to coaching a group of high school basketball players.
And obviously still beloved here with the Detroit Pistons fans, Sheed, from his championship run and All-Star appearance with the Pistons as well. But Jonas, it sounds like the team went from pretty much a losing team to a mediocre team this season. So how were the on-court results for those guys?
They definitely got more wins this year. They went from 7 wins a year ago to about, I think they finished with 13 wins, 10, 11, 12, 13 wins this year. They were 500 in the conference. So there definitely was a turnaround. They didn't make the playoffs. They just got eliminated from the first round of their conference tournament. I think if they would have got 1 or 2 wins in the conference tournament, they probably would have made the postseason. But you could definitely, from talking to the players, it was more between the ears. It was more mental, the growth they had made, than it was on the court. I mean, actually, they had more wins on the court as well. But the players, you know, all of them talked about how much more, A, they learned about the game of basketball, and B, just how much more they learned about life just from playing one season under Coach Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, and unlike many of the programs up here in Michigan, Jordan High School actually did finish their season, according to your article. So
yeah,
1 year is completely in the books for Coach Sheed. But you talked about the kids a little bit, like when he was hired last year to now. I mean, what was the reaction from them initially, and how did it kind of change 1 year into being developed by Coach Sheed?
Well, one thing that just caught me by surprise, I talked to one of the singers, a guy named Ty Cox, and, you know, last year when Coach Wallace was hired, you know, these guys, 16, 17 years old, they didn't really see him play. They knew the name because, like I said, he went to Carolina. And immediately one of the singers said his first thought was, I might not even be on the team next year, because they all assumed that, you know, this former NBA player would be bringing in his own guys, he would be bringing in his own players. So they didn't even know if they would have a roster spot. So then once they had the tryouts, they all make the team, had to do their workouts, they all had to learn the game a new way. They said they were all, they were all kind of worried that, you know, playing for a former NBA player, that he would just throw so much at them, and it would just be so much above their head they wouldn't grasp the concepts. But they all said that he really kind of broke it down for them. He kind of slowed things down. He kept it simple. So they were really able to learn the basics and the fundamentals taught to them by one of the best basketball minds from the NBA or from college basketball. So what he did was he broke them down to just, we're going to keep it simple. We're going to slow things down. We're going to kind of erase what you guys did last year, and we're going to kind of build from scratch. We're going to take it one game at a time. Like I said, they really turned it around probably in January and February. They went on a little winning streak, but Coach Shee said, you know, he could tell when it clicked. He could tell when they got it going. So it was really about getting back to the basics and them learning him learning, you know, their do's and their don'ts and what they like, and just kind of trusting each other. And so it started to click around January, late in the season, early February. And so I can't wait to see what he does with another year of off season. Well, if we get off season, I can't wait to see what he does another year with his program.
Yeah, and I can understand the apprehension of the kids right away, because you get this big name guy in there. The other former players have done things like this, coaching AAU programs, starting their own AAU programs, or coaching some of these major high schools to try to boost their coaching profile, maybe go get a college job or
back
into the NBA. But it sounds like Rashid, you know, didn't work the transfer system and try to get a bunch of kids from around the area that were playing with such and such AAU team or something like that. Did he bring in any transfers or anything like that?
He didn't bring in any. He talked about that. He said, you know, when he got here, I'm coaching the guys at this school. I'm not going to bring in any top recruits. He said, we don't have any 4 or 5 star guys. I'm a coach here. I'm a coach who is here in this school. And he was adamant about that. And so I think, once the guys realize, okay, he's going to work with us. He's not going to try to, you know, get us out of the program and bring in his own dudes. He wanted to play the hand he was dealt. I guess that's the best way I could put it. And, you know, he was very adamant about it. He could have easily gone out with his name recognition alone in the Durham area, in the Raleigh Durham area, and probably got some guys, 4 or 5 star guys to come play at Jordan. But no, he stuck with the guys who were there in that program. And I think to the Jordan community and to the city of Durham and to those guys, that meant a whole lot.
Jonas Pope, IV of the News and Observer down in North Carolina, talking about Rashid Wallace as the high school basketball coach down there. I'm sure that, you know, maybe half tongue in cheek, a lot of people are wondering, how does Rashid, you know, act during games? Does he work the refs the whole time? Obviously known for getting all the technical fouls. I mean, what's the reviews on him as far as how he's conducting himself on the sidelines?
So it's funny you asked that, because the first game I went to, I only saw them play twice this year. So the first game I went to was in February, and I wanted to see just that. I wanted to see how he would work the refs, how animated would he be on the sidelines. And I would say for the first quarter and a half, I was kind of shocked. You know, he sat down most of the game. He has an assistant coach, a guy named Pat Cole, who played locally in North Carolina Central, who does he let him do. Pat did a lot of talking in the huddles. Pat was a little bit more animated on the sideline. But the game went on, as the game got a little closer, you could see the old Rashid coming out a little bit. He jumped up a little bit, and I think right around the third quarter, he did get a technical. He got into a
nice.
He didn't like – he stayed on brand. Yeah, he stayed on brand. He didn't like one of the calls. I think one of his players got injured on the play, and the referee didn't call a foul, and he let the referee know about it, and the referee gave him a warning, and Rashid wasn't done. So he let the referee know about it a little bit more, and he got him a technical foul, and the refs told him to sit down for the rest of the quarter. And I think he followed orders. He sat down, and then in the fourth quarter, he's back up again. And they end up winning a close game. But, yeah, you could see, like, once the game got tight and he got the intensity picked up, that old Coach Wallace was coming out.
Yeah, and I hope the North Carolina High School Athletic Association is a little bit more lax on fines than they were with the NBA office for that tech for Rashid's purposes. But what about the team? Did they run, you know, offense, or did they do anything offensively or defensively that stood out to you that said, oh yeah, this is a guy who's played a long time in the NBA, played with Larry Brown, played, you know, under the Dean Smith tree and all that stuff. Did anything kind of stand out to you tactically in that way?
Offensively, not so much, but you could just tell the way they played defense. That was something he had he had his hand on the pulse of the way they played defense. You could tell that the way they communicated. You know, how much they talk, how much they help each other, you know, how much the guy behind, the guy getting screamed, would scream out and communicate, just being verbal, just talking, just communicating on the floor. You can tell that was, you know, coming directly from him in the way he played. And the guys really, really, really bought into that. And it was very, very obvious on the defensive end, I'm sorry, that he had really gotten, he had really put in his DNA on the way they played defense.
Yeah, and you mentioned the communication that was Rasheed's signature here, and at the even though the Palace was loud and full back in those days when those teams were winning, you could still hear Rasheed barking on defense. So good to hear that the kids are continuing that that motif for him. But you mentioned in your article that his daughter goes to school there. Does she play sports as well for Jordan?
I'm not sure because I wasn't even aware that he had a daughter at school until he said it during the interview. I threw it in, but I didn't even ask him. If she played there, she could. I'm not sure. I know the Jordan's girls basketball program is one of the best in this part of the state, but I didn't even ask him during the interview.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, you know, what's your impression for Sheed? Do you think he's kind of in it for the long haul at this school, or do you think he really enjoyed year one and that this is something that you envision him sticking with and staying with for a number of years?
You know, it's hard to say for a couple of reasons because so many other people I've talked to have said he's such a great, you know, such a great basketball mind that they could see him at the collegiate level or even helping out at the NBA level. But I do feel like he'll definitely be around for a couple more years because he told me himself that he really enjoys like watching high school basketball. And I think the first time I talked to him and asked him about coaching, he said he learned so much from Dean Smith, from Larry Brown, that he wanted to share it with the younger generation. And he told me for a previous story I did that he thought the way the game was looking now was just getting kind of sloppy and getting about me ball. He called it me ball, not weed ball, but me ball. And so he wanted to kind of get the game back to its essence. He felt like the best way to do that was to start at the high school level. You know, these guys are playing, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids. If he can mold them this early in their career, and then the game can get back to the way it was when he played, you know, sharing the ball, talking on defense, playing team ball. So, I mean, I definitely can see him. It wouldn't surprise me if he stuck around with Jordan for those 3 or 4 years, but from talking to some of his former teammates, you know, I talked to Jerry Stackhouse, who coaches at Vanderbilt. He said Coach Wallace helped him out a little bit when he was with the G League. You know, from talking to him and Donald Williams, another one of his college teammates, they said he has a great basketball mind, and they're both surprised that he's not at least on a college bench helping out someone. So, I mean, from talking to him, he seemed like he really loves being around the kids. He loves doing it at that level. But I feel like if he has success there, at some point, somebody's going to reach out, like, hey, come sit on my bench on this college team or this NBA G League team or something like that.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's kind of living the life that Larry Brown kind of threatened to live all those NBA years when he said, man, I want to go back and coach high school basketball someday. But then someone throw a big amount of money at him and he would stay in the NBA. But Rasheed's down there in North Carolina at Jordan High School in Durham, North Carolina, coaching those guys. But Jonas Pope IV of the News and Observer newspaper down in North Carolina. Follow him on Twitter at JEPopeIV. And anything else that folks up here in Michigan should know about in terms of Rasheed Wallace and how he's doing down there?
I just think it's interesting. I don't know how he was in Detroit, but I just think it's so funny how he just likes to stay low-key. Mm-hmm. I mean, as hard as it is for a 6'10 guy who's a local legend to stay low-key, when I see him out in the public, you can just tell he just wants to blend in. Like I said, he's 6'10". It's hard for him to blend in, but it's just funny to me how often I see him at North Carolina Central is a mid-major program. It's also in Durham. He's really good friends with the coach there. He's always at their games, but you would never know that he's a, you know, former NBA champion, a former NBA All-Star, and just that because he's amongst the people. He just kind of blends in, watches the game, and he scoots out the back door and to no fanfare. But I just think it's so interesting how just low-key and calm he remains when you see him out and about in the Triangle area.
Yeah, I think that kind of rings true to stories I've heard about Rasheed out, you know, in the Metro Detroit area when he was here as well. But Jonas Pope, thanks for joining us, and good luck to you down there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Jonas Pope IV of the News Observer in North Carolina for visiting us and talking about Coach Sheed. But we've made it to April. I've talked to you guys several months this season about how we set records for downloads. Well, we didn't do that in March, as you might expect. the Pistons flailing at the first part of the month, and then our unusual shutdown that kind of threw everything into chaos the rest of the month as well. But we did beat last March year over year, so we got that streak going. We ever since I've started this podcast, year over year, we have better numbers than the previous years that month. So March of this year beat March of last year. April's going to be tough. We're going to put that record to a real test because, as you know, April was the year the Pistons had important regular season games last year at this month, and then ended up having a week or so of a four-game sweep in the playoffs, which brings big numbers when the Pistons are playing meaningful basketball. So, a couple things. That means you got to tell your friends about the Locked On Pistons podcast. You got to stay with us during our episodes, and I'll try to do my best to bring you as many episodes as we can during the month of April. One more note to pass along. We're running a deal here on the Locked On Podcast Network and specifically through Locked On Pistons where it's half off of sponsorships. So if you've got a business out there that needs a little boost in your revenue, or maybe you're one of those businesses that thrives in these situations, delivery services, things like that, and you want to get the word about your product out there, I will sell my butt off for you. It will encourage me to keep doing as many episodes as possible, and we'll get the listeners up, all that good stuff. So it's a win-win-win for everyone. We've got half-off advertising deals right now during the shutdown. So if you thought about advertising, or if your company just happens to be one of these that might be able to try to grow a little bit during this unfortunate time, get in touch with me about that. Send me an email, Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. And just to be frank, it would really help me out and would really encourage me to keep this Locked On Pistons podcast going as much as possible. I'll have some personal news next week, by the way, a little bit of a tease there that could impact the future of the Locked On Pistons podcast. So listen for that. And just going to throw it out there that the more sponsors we can get, the more partners we can get, the better off things will be for your boy Matt Schoch, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. That'll do it for our show. Appreciate you guys listening. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of our friend Josh Lloyd and Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.